Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Philippians again, and you can just turn to that every Sunday for the next several Sundays, except for next Sunday. We'll be staying in this book looking at some how-to messages. A Christian who loves the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and his neighbor as himself, I believe should have a desire as to how to better develop that relationship with Almighty God. To know Him better should be the desire of every one of us as believers. But the question is, will we take the steps necessary to develop that relationship of true spiritual intimacy with the Lord? And the question becomes, how can we do it? There's a story about a couple who went for marriage counseling. Both of them carried a list with them. The man had taken a sheet of paper and drawn a line down the middle of the paper and proceeded to write all the good things on one side and the bad things on the other side. His wife had done the same thing. They pointed out to the counselor that they just couldn't stay married because of the list they had made. They both had a much longer list of the negatives than the positive for each other. Having tried everything from vacations to marriage retreats, the couple had come to this counselor as the last resort before getting a divorce. The counselor glanced at the list, noting some serious things and some that were not so serious. To their shock, he tore them up right in front of them, threw them in the trash can. The man cried out, "What are you doing? Don't you know how long it took us to make those lists?" The counselor explained to them that their lists were useless because they examined the couple's problem from the wrong end. You are pursuing a rule book when you should be pursuing a relationship. I'm afraid that too many times we as believers end up pursuing rule book for relationships rather than the relationship itself, especially a relationship with the Lord. God meant for life to be lived by relationships, not by rules. Yes, we have His guidebook of faith and practice, but it's not just a book of rules and regulations to hinder us. They are guides to increase our faith and increase our joy in living and serving Him and the strength that we need every day. So the question becomes, we need to realize that we are in desperate need of spiritual intimacy with the God of all creation, our God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, how do we develop spiritual intimacy? As we look at this text in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 through 11, there are some truths that emerge that are spoken by the Apostle Paul that can help us to develop spiritual intimacy. And we glean this from the words that he says and that he uses in speaking to the church at Philippi and the believers there that he loved deeply. Listen to what Paul said, beginning in verse 3. He said, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Dr. Jeff Org, who is the president of Golden Gate Seminary out in California, says this, makes this telling observation concerning intimacy. He says, "Intimacy is the elusive transparency, deep union, and unspoken acceptance we long for in our most significant relationships. We crave intimacy with our spouse, in a different sense with our children, and in a special way with a few friends." We all desire intimacy in our relationships, a deep affection and love, appreciation for one another. And if we're going to be healthy at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, we must develop a spiritual intimacy with God first, then with our families, and then with our fellow believers and with other people. We need to learn to develop a deep spiritual intimacy. But how do we build intimacy in our relationships, particularly with our fellow church members? Excuse me. What needs to happen in order to join the Apostle Paul in saying of our fellow believers, as he did in verse 7, I have you in my heart. And in verse 8, I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. So how are we going to develop spiritual intimacy? If we're going to develop a true spiritual intimacy with God, with our families, with our fellow believers, and with people in general, there are three vital truths that we need to understand desperately. First truth is simply this, very basic and very simple. Intimate relationships rest on a spiritual foundation. Intimate relationships rest on a spiritual foundation. The Apostle Paul, you notice in verses 3 through 6, talks about their participation in the gospel in verse 5. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, he says. He may have been talking about their financial fellowship, since the church at Philippi was the only church that entered into fellowship with Paul to help support him in his ministry. The good work he talks about in verse 6 may refer to the sharing of their means. It was started by the Lord, and Paul was sure the Lord would continue it and complete it. But listen, this can also be applied to the work of salvation and Christian living. We are not saved by our good works. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we need to understand that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He is the one who gave his life for us. Salvation, then, is the good work that God does in us when we trust his Son. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he goes on to say this, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Listen, we're told that God continues his work in us through his Spirit. But we need to understand then that salvation includes a threefold work. First of all, salvation is the work that God does for us. And that's why we proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent his Son so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But there are some steps that we need to take to let God work in us the work of salvation. We must admit that we are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need then to also believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is God's virgin-born son, his only begotten son, born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin, who went to an old rugged cross, shed his precious blood, that we might have forgiveness of sins, died and was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and ascended back to the right hand of God the Father, and that this same Jesus who died on that cross, who was buried and rose again, is going to come again to receive us unto himself where he is, there we may be also. But then we need to confess, admit that we're sinners, believe that he is who he says he is, and confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So salvation, the first threefold work of salvation is the work God does for us. But secondly, it is the work that God does in us. We call this sanctification, being set apart. We work out what God has worked in. We don't work for our salvation. We work because we have been saved. And this is a part of salvation. It's a foundational work of sanctification, being set apart, saying we belong to him. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. We belong to Almighty God, because of the great work of salvation he has done for you and for me. But then there's a third aspect to salvation. Not only salvation itself and sanctification, But there is the work that God does through us, which is called service. Serving Him, being a servant. Jesus came and demonstrated servanthood for you and me. And we are to follow Him in service. This work will continue until we see Christ, and then the work will be fulfilled. We'll see Him. We'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3:2 reminds us. So it was a source of joy to the Apostle Paul to know that God was still working in the lives of his fellow believers. And this is the real basis for joyful Christian fellowship, to have God at work in our lives day by day. Spiritual intimacy must have a spiritual foundation. And that foundation begins at the foot of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. That is the key to our relationship with one another. We need to understand that God is our Father through the new birth. But only believers can truly pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Even Jesus said, as He told some people, that you have two fathers. If you are a believer, God is your Father. But if you're an unbeliever, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. You're lost, and you're following him instead of following Almighty God. That's not me. That's what the Bible says, and we need to understand that. So when we have that spiritual foundation, that it begins the basis for us to have an ongoing, intimate relationship with God. But sometimes, even as believers, we kind of get off track, don't we? There's a couple later that went to talk to a counselor and said, she said, there seems to be friction in our home. I don't really know what the trouble is. And so the counselor said this: friction is caused by one of two things. And to illustrate, took two blocks of wood. If one block is moving and one is standing still, there's friction. But if both are moving but in opposite directions, there's friction. You can get friction like this. Now, which is it, he asked. And she said, I have to admit, I've been going backward in my Christian life, and Joe, who was her husband, has really been growing, she admitted. What I need is to get back to fellowship with the Lord. If we're going to enjoy true spiritual intimacy with God and with our spouses and with our children, with our family, fellow members, we're going to have to get right with God. We're going to have to walk with Him on a daily basis. You see, God desires to have an ongoing, intimate love relationship with you and me. That's His great desire, so that we can bring honor and glory unto Him in our daily walk. He wants to communicate with us. He loves you and me unconditionally. He meets all of our needs. He disciplines us when we get out of whack and we need to be brought back. He disciplines us, convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He convinces us, hey, you've gone the wrong direction. Come back to me the way you ought to be. And He guides us to do what is right. And He is always with us. He never fails us. He'll always be there. He'll never fail us nor forsake us. And when we begin to understand these biblical truths, we can then be on the right road to true spiritual intimacy with God. You see, grace and peace and godly affection with Jesus are the spiritual foundations for intimate relationships on every level of life. And with that in mind, we need to understand that healthy churches are marked by relational grace and peace expressed affectionately among the members and between leaders and their followers. Christian love is the tie that binds us together. Love is the evidence of salvation, and that is the foundation we must rest on. Paul talks about it. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy and with my every prayer for you all. He was truly expressing his deep affection for the people at Philippi. We need to express our deep affection, not only for God, but for one another, if we're going to be a healthy fellowship. Intimate relationships rest on a spiritual foundation. What does the Bible say? For other foundation can no man lay, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the beginning of an intimate relationship, spiritual intimacy that we desperately need in our daily lives and with Almighty God. But how do we develop intimate relationships, deep, intimate, spiritual intimacy? Intimate relationships builds on a shared purpose. Paul talks about it in these verses. He says, and he talks about their participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is saying to the Philippians, hey, we are partners in the gospel, in the good news of God as revealed in Christ Jesus the Lord. This partnership started at the inauguration of the church at Philippi. He talks about their fellowship, their partnership. When? From the very first day. In other words, from the time that you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, we became partners in the gospel. That's the way it is in the church today. That has not changed. And it extends to the time of his writing to them and to this time today. Paul considered them partners who supported him in his imprisonment and said in verse 7, for it's about only right for me to feel this about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. Paul says you are partners in the confirmation of the gospel. We have this in common as believers. The purpose is the gospel. Folks, that's what binds us together as a church. That's our reason for our existence. It's the gospel, good news. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, and we must never lose sight of that wonderful truth. So we too are partakers in the gospel. And so then intimacy with other believers emerges from our shared commitment to this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are partners in gospel sharing, even when it's difficult. And I realize that all indications are now in our own country that we love so wonderfully and greatly that it's becoming even more difficult to share the gospel with people because people are becoming hardened to the gospel, don't want to hear it. I realize that, and turning their backs on it, and even persecuting those and ridiculing those who claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and shedding doubt about the reality of the Bible and who God is and about Jesus Christ. So it's becoming even more challenging. But that does not change the fact that you and I are to be sharers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by the way we live, by the things that we say and do, by the places we go, by the people we contact. We are still sharers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our culture, I know it's difficult, but we help one another to defend the gospel by standing up, working together to establish the gospel in new places. That's why it's so important when we have a part of our own ongoing budget, a certain amount of money set aside for the cooperative program. Through the cooperative program, we support Brunswick Baptist Association, Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, the Southern Baptist Convention. And then we give to the Light of Moon Christmas offering, Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We give to other special offerings during the year. We have the Mission House. We have local missions. We have church planting. All of these are part of sharing in the gospel, being partners in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel literally around the world. I heard from Sam Paul Hamus and his family here in Caitlin and their children yesterday, and they were talking about what God is doing where they are in India, and shared some wonderful stories about God at work in a powerful way. And we have a part in that when we are giving to the cooperative program and the Light of Moon Christmas offering, supporting them, and they're grateful for that support and what God is doing and how God miraculously moved among them. It tells a story about a local individual and group that were meeting in a church. And some men came and said, they had the doors locked for safety reasons, and said, if you don't come out and stop being a part of this gospel, we're going to burn the church down. One of the men had a gun, but he didn't use it. They called the police. The police came and arrested the individuals. But they would not press charges. The man said, we're not going to press charges. We forgive them. You know what happened? They were so impressed, and the village where they were meeting was so impressed. The village now has been receptive to the gospel. God at work. They were defending the gospel. And it may come a time when we need to do the same thing. We, even now, need to be defending the gospel, standing up for the truth of the Word of God. You see, when we work together on a common purpose of communicating the gospel, intimacy automatically takes place because we're sharing with one another. When we work together on a project initiated by this church, we get to know each other better, learn to love and appreciate each other better. And this becomes a source of spiritual intimacy and great joy. Listen, Mount Pisgah Baptist Church wasn't placed here by accident. I believe God had it placed at this intersection in a strategic location for a divine purpose. And we must never lose sight of that divine purpose. Look at what's happening all around us. Houses going up everywhere. We have a wonderful opportunity to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only those who have been here for all these years, but for the new people who are coming in, the question is, how are we going to respond? We simply need to realize that we are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that partnership should develop a unique intimacy between us and between the people who come seeking to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We need to shine the light of the glorious gospel into their hearts. Growth is coming. How are we going to respond to it? We need to respond to it properly. The only way we can do that is to develop a spiritual intimacy with God like never before and with our families and our fellow believers. The question is, how's it going to come about? We need to understand one key thing. Intimate relationships deepen through sustained prayer. Sustained prayer life is a key to developing spiritual intimacy. The Apostle Paul found joy in remembering the Philippians before the throne of grace in prayer. And notice he thanked God for them in verse 3. And joyfully, continually prayed for them. Look at what he said. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Prayer bound them together. Prayer will bind us together. He even wrote a prayer for them in verses 9 through 11. Notice what he said. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. You see, we build intimate relationships by praying with and for other people. That's why Wednesday night prayer meetings are so precious. But I hope you pray in your Sunday school room, pray at home, pray together. We need to be a praying people like never before. Perhaps the deepest Christian fellowship, the greatest joy, and the most powerful spiritual intimacy we can experience in this life is at the throne of grace, praying with one another and for one another. Paul's was a prayer for maturity, and his prayer began with love. He had a deep love for these people. If our Christian love is what it ought to be, everything else should follow. Praying together breaks down walls and brings us together humbly before God. Praying for each other changes attitudes and perspectives as we learn to bear each other's burdens. There's a chorus that I've spoken before, but there's a whole song written by Ken Medema. The chorus, and the song really begins with the chorus, Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love. Send us power. Send us grace. That's a tremendous request, something we could pray every day. But listen to some of the words of the verses. Something's going to happen like the world has never known. When the people of the Lord get down to pray, the door's going to swing open and the walls come a-tumbling down when the people of the Lord get down to pray. When the people of the Lord get down to pray, the door's going to swing open and the walls come down a-tumbling down when the people of the Lord get down to pray. All the people saying, Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love. Send us power. Send us grace. And he's going to take over and he's going to take control. He's going to move the mountains, make the waters roll when the people of the Lord get down to pray. Oh, when the people of the Lord, oh, the people of the Lord, when the people of the Lord get down to pray. He's going to move the mountains, make the waters roll when the people of the Lord get down to pray. Sing it, children. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love. Send us power. Send us grace. We're going to know it when the Lord stretches out his hand, when the people of the Lord get down to pray. There's going to be a brand new song of victory in this land when the people of the Lord get down to pray. Oh, when the people of the Lord, the people of the Lord get down to pray. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love. Send us power. Send us grace. God wants to hear his people praying. When we truly pray, God moves in heaven. You've heard me say it before. God does nothing except by prayer and everything with it. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power such none could ever ask too much. Praying, praying. Paul prayed that they might have mature Christian love and character. How we desperately need that today. He wanted them to be sincere and without offense. Sincere could mean here, tested by sunlight. The sincere Christian is not afraid to stand in the light. Sincere may also mean to whirl in a sieve, suggesting the idea of a winnowing process that removes chaff. In both cases, the truth is the same. Paul prayed that his friends would have the kind of character that can pass the test for them to have mature Christian love and character, would be without offense until the day of Christ. That should be our desire. This reveals to you and me that in order to develop spiritual intimacy, we must be a people of prayer. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love. Send us power. Send us grace. Oh, how we need that today. Spiritual intimacy emerges from grace and peace shared through working and praying together toward the common goal of sharing the gospel. Folks, we have a gospel mission here at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. The only way to fulfill it is to develop a deep spiritual intimacy with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, with our families, and with each other. And when God's people pray, I believe we'll see things take place like never before. If we're going to develop a deep spiritual intimacy, we must be sure that we're on a solid foundation. For other foundation can no man lay except that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. I hope you're building your life on that solid foundation. If not, you need to get it right today. And then we need to continue to develop spiritual intimacy by building on a shared purpose of gospel, the gospel, the good news of God's love as revealed in Jesus Christ. That's who we are, who we are to be. And that intimacy deepens through sustained prayer. Here's my challenge to all of us. Do you really desire a deep spiritual intimacy with God? If you do and you achieve it, I would say this to you. Get ready for an exciting and a challenging life of ministry like you've never experienced before. But also along with it, blessings. And sometimes, yes, hardship. Sometimes difficulty. Sometimes difficult decisions. Yes. But through it all, God's going to be glorified when you're obedient to him, when you follow him. Question is, what are you willing to do? Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love. Send us power. Send us grace. if you're willing to pray that prayer in order to develop a deep spiritual intimacy with Almighty God, I would challenge you to come to the altar today and say, Lord, I want this church to be the church you want it to be. And the only way that's going to happen is if I just commit my life totally to you and be an instrument in your hands to get the gospel out in this community. Would you make that your commitment today as we stand and sing hymn number 160, Just When I Need Him Most? Folks, we need him. Oh, how we need him today. And you want to come and just pray and pray for someone that you know that's not a believer. And you want to pray that God will draw them to himself. Would you come? Would you come today? Whatever decision you need to make, God is here to help you with it. Would you come as we sing? 160.